Yep.
Okay, this meeting of the Utilities and Sewers Committee will come to order here at 1606, and the clerk will call the roll.
Trachis? Oops.
Needed?
Trachis? Can you hear me?
We can now, yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Trachis?
Present.
Tagliati?
Here.
Verberca?
Here. Got a quorum being present, welcome to the committee. We, because the workshop has been doing all the work for us over the course of the year, we didn't really meet that much, so we thought we'd come together on the items listed as well as anything else that comes before the committee. And the first topic of the conversation is the discussion of year-end projects. So this is going to be the Don Ram Show, so if anyone else wants to talk, let me know. Don kind of has the floor, so.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So we were light this year on capital projects, so the focus of this presentation relative to year-end is focusing on the maintenance contract work, which is still did some significant work, but so I'll be able to first half will report on the things we've been working on since May up till the present, and then look quickly ahead. And this first slide here was really a just showing you all the alternate bids from our contract that we awarded in May, both to Geotech and one to CATS. The highlighted alternates were a couple that we did accomplish that I'll have some follow-up work. We did the Forestwood storm outlet improvement. That was an outfall in the Forestwood subdivision that's been on our books for many, many years, so it was nice to get that one accomplished. And then the upper Pleasant Valley retaining wall was a nice, another nice one. So this Geotech's been doing most of our work this season. $325,000 was the original contract award, which included a couple of those alternates. Give you just a little flavor of some of the work. We've had a lot of traditional, small, quick hitter type projects, which falls, you know, well, nicely under maintenance, catch basin repairs, culvert replacements, routine rating, swaling. So this is just a list here of some of the things we've marched down through, and just over on the right hand side, they all quantify. I'm trying to show you where the dollars went in the contract. Yeah. That first item was quite significant. It was an alternate that was added, so $125,000 out of the $325,000 was for just that one project. And then a lot of these other ones. Oh, I have some slides here. Yeah, here's right up near
the south side.
Oh, and it's up by the highway.
Yeah, by the highway, west of the ramp. Yeah, you can see the old, the old timbers were pretty whooped, original, all original, back in the 60s and 70s. So they were, they're 50 years old, again, 50 years out of them. It's pretty good. The soldier piles were in nice shape, so we were able to just reutilize them, keep them right there, and slide the new timbers right in place. So it came out pretty nice. It's a nice structural improvement, but also cosmetically really upgrade, a nice upgraded area. We've had other communities reach out to us and ask us about this job, about who did it, if it was funded by the county, and we told them no, it was 100%. So
we're used to that.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Okay, so again, nothing too grandiose to talk through on this one, smaller items.
The Chase Bank one, so we had talked about that being a eventually some type of a basin area. Was what's the process of that?
Yeah, so what we had Geotech clean a lot of the trees and debris, the swaling. The swale had been just neglected over the years. It's actually located on the property owned by the developer, Red Robin.
On the Red Robin side?
Yeah. It's, it parallels that property line. It's in essence, it's an easement for all intent and purpose because it does benefit a large upstream area. So we, just in the improvements they made, just reswaling, pulling some tree and debris out, and we added one inlet basin on that pipe. There's a nice existing pipe. It's in good shape. It's not very big, but it flows nicely. We think we've made some huge improvements. We'll keep our eye on it over the course of the rainy season, see if we see that condition where the water spills out over the curb and spills across 21. But right now, we feel like we've made a big improvement to try to maximize the capacity of the infrastructure that's there. So we may not need to go to another step. We'll just have to watch it. And and the fence, of course, the fence came after, I think, the fence that went up. It's an eerie fence, so it was kind of, that wasn't geotech, but that was part and parcel of that work there.
Do you plan to leave those driveway aprons there, or convert that to green space?
We kind of left them there thinking that if we were going to go in and do a detention basin, like more, we might still use access, but ultimately, once the final plan is formulated, we would for sure know at that time, clean that up and get it out if they're not needed. Yeah, because it does probably look a little bit undone, right? We planted some trees there too. I think we got a grant and planted some trees there to try to fill it in.
People park on those aprons too.
Right, I've seen quite a bit of that.
Really? Yeah, I wonder for who. Okay, it's good to know. Again, a lot, I try to emphasize that most of this work, even though it's listing addresses, don't get the impression that we're in backyards. A lot of this is ROW right-of-way and easement. When they're in easements right-of-way, that's where we try to do most of our work, unless, you know, for some anomaly. So, trying to show you that as well with these slides and work locations. Here, another large project was the emergency project that came up. Wasn't in the original bid, but we took some emergency bids for the Evergreen outfall. Pipe was rotten and a sinkhole developed, and it was a significant project because of the rough terrain. And, there's about 30 to 35 feet of total elevation difference between the road and the outlet of the pipe, so it was a tough project. So that took a good amount of effort. So, and lastly, you saw some recent work on Chestnut. Yeah. That was
cool. Really,
yeah, that was to try to.
Jim, is that the one where you, yeah, kind of think you and I let go?
Yep.
I know he's, that's been a few years and
he's had problems. Yeah, there were some existing sewers there that were just, ultimately, they are not big enough to handle all the runoff then.
So he'll be happy now.
It didn't seem like they ran out of pipe very far.
No, not too far. We're calling this phase one because this was the low end of the work. The deepest part, so we got it out of the right of way and got it stubbed back to a point that sets us up for the future extension for the big glorified project.
But we didn't go all the way.
I didn't include it on this
because I think at one point we asked you want to tell a story about the contractor that we asked him. It was a price. We had some prices from our different contractors.
Yeah. In fact, if we show it here, so yeah, those were the first alternates. We called it phase one and phase two. It was significant cost, but these were big projects. So phase one was, we called it the north-south trunk, and that was to get the pipe well, it's the very top, very top.
Yeah.
Chestnut drain.
Those were all those together that we put together, or is that just that one here?
These two, phase one and phase two, phase one was the north-south trunk line. That
phase two was,
phase two was all about correct, shooting the backyard drainage east and west. So it was pretty, it was really to impact and benefit the entire neighborhood if we did the full project. But they were very costly. And no formal decisions were made initially. They're still valid projects, but because of it was preempted by the conditions there with the two property owners. And we felt like the right way to go rather than hold them hostage on some big project that may take years to get to and fund. We felt like let's do the low end of the job, deepest part, mitigate and solve their issue, and then put us in a good spot for a future extension should we now pull the trigger at later. We did have an idea of a public-private partnership where a developer contractor, Independence Excavating, they could benefit largely from the sewer, push it far enough north. They own some vacant land there north of Chestnut that ultimately would serve as their outfall and outlet of a, if any development and drainage outlet would come right through this very pipe. We thought about similar to Sunset, there was a deal that we worked out, the city bought the pipe and they installed it in the backyards there of Sunset a few years back. So we felt maybe this was an opportunity to do that same thing.
And it still may be now, it still doesn't preclude.
That's right.
So we broached the subject to see if there was any interest, and we shared with them our data to see if they respond, how they respond.
Okay. Yeah, because that would be a costly part of it, but if they participate, then it won't be as bad.
So we do buy the materials, maybe the labor or something. I do any project like that if we can who can solve a problem, but we haven't heard back. And so if in fact something happens, we'll contact council and see if there's any willingness to do that.
How big of a pipe do we put in here?
It was pretty big, 24-inch, I have some photo of here, if you slide on it.
A lot bigger than the last one.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, does that go into Chestnut, into the one that goes across from Chestnut to Sunset to Lakefront?
Correct.
Yes.
So it drains down through that way, yep.
So did Giuliani property always have a water issue back there?
I think he, you can't remember that big rise is still there, that big stretch.
That precip, well, he had a problem before, and he put his own pipe in.
Yeah.
The city helped us.
City helped us.
Why did the service department?
And that was sufficient until the garage went.
Right.
And then I noticed changes in water outfall, and he was flooded out four or five times over the course of the last 3 or 4 years, so it became a bigger problem every time it rained. He had something going on.
Once the structure was put up, that's what he said.
And so the 32,000 phase one is just a portion of this phase one then for that?
Correct, yeah, this whole, yep, this is the lowest, deepest portion of the phase one.
So it's just phase one of phase one?
Yeah, that's correct, yeah, and this is some photos of the
phase one.
This was the existing manhole, kind of behind the curb, between the curb and the tree lawn, and we came out of it, punched a hole in it, and got in it too with our 24-inch, and ran it out to kind of on a 45-degree angle to get over to near the property line, set a deep manhole, and then stubbed. We have a small section of 24 now coming out this backside with a cap on it, so now the cap can be pulled off by the next guy who comes up to one extent, whether it's our contractor or...
This is in the side yard there?
It's in the side yard, yep.
So is this going to improve anything today?
So here's what we did. So these existing pipes, this you mentioned a small pipe, that's not big enough. That's what these are. This was the 6-inch that served all that property back there. So we when we reinstated these pipes to this structure now, but ultimately we gave Adam Zamaya about 30 days now to run his new drainage from his garage, the new structure, into, we stubbed out a connection for him as well. So once yeah, 30 days now. Now that we've got him set up and a connection provided, he'll tie into this, and then at the same project, he'll sever his connection to Giuliani's connection, which therein will be then Giuliani will be isolated from that and
two separate.
Right now, it's not. When Zamaya does this work, it'll be set up.
30 days from when?
From when we completed this. So I sent Adam an email about a week or so ago. We buttoned things up and got the sidewalk closed in and removed the equipment. So clock's ticking now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Zamaya was tied into Julian.
Well,
worked something out, didn't they?
Well, yes. Well, it was on his property. That pipe that we put in, service department put in for Giuliani, was run on Zamaya property. So he tied in. I gave him a permit to allow him to tie into the pipe that was on his property. It just exacerbated the condition with Giuliani because the pipe was only a 6-inch.
So
it was very unique scenario, and to say the least. Now that we've done this, it should. And then once Zamaya does what he does, we'll all inspect it and make sure everything gets handled properly, and they'll be isolated. Mm-hmm. And each of the
what about Giuliani's?
Pardon me?
Where is Giuliani's?
Well, his got reinstated into a connection into this new manhole.
Into the new manhole.
Yeah, so it's now live. That's live now again. Can now drain to this. But unfortunately, further upstream, Zamaya still presently, his water would still have a way to get here, but for when he installs his pipe and severs it, separates it.
Would it at some point, if we would go to phase two or phase one, go back
further,
would he just tie in laterally then, eliminate this whole thing, tie in all the way to the front to where we're tied in, or is it?
Yes, it'll be, in essence, he's going to be running a 6 or 8-inch line, and if and when we put a 24, we'll be ripping it right up. Yeah.
Okay.
And it'll come in sideways, then we'll provide him a connection at that.
The part of the deal was he had to put his in.
Right.
Within
a set period of time. Yes. Yep.
He'll monitor that.
Oh, yeah. And he was pushing me just as much as Mr. Giuliani, because he wanted to get rid of the problem and be able to tie in, because we were holding him off on allowing him to tie in his downspouts into this pipe. So he was, the gutters are there, but the water was just pouring over, so he didn't care for that because he's living with
anybody.
Yeah. All that water pouring off into his own yard, flooding his own yard.
Sure.
So now he'll benefit now from this work too.
The 24-inch pipe was a great idea.
Yeah, it's big and it's got the capacity.
Plan for the future.
Yeah. Right.
So that project been done, that's just about $4,500 and what?
Yeah, so that's what the takeaway is between the, yep, and we started, and we've only been at it for about 6 months, really, and they've spent a good full year. So this contract, I thought that it was terminating on December 31st. It's, we ran it 12 months consecutive from the notice to proceed, so we have till May of 23 before the contract will terminate. So I would propose, you know, we get fresh money in the budget for 21 or 23 rather, we could probably entertain.
Budgets are locked, you know?
Yeah, under the current contract until May.
So if we fund anymore, these prices are good until May of
23.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I think he'd be willing to even offer a letter of extension. You know, we have that clause for a 1 year extension.
That
beyond that. Beyond that for May of 23.
All I can tell you right now is trying to get material and the cost of everything. In a month, if we can still get diesel, we'll be in good shape.
Yeah.
Now, Cass, has anything been spent with Cass?
Not we're near as much, but we'll talk about that. So this was the geotech snapshot, of where we've been and what we've done. There's some photos I already showed you. This was the Forestwood outfall. There's a head wall that you can't see. It's hiding back here. That was a good amount of erosion, and then we just put some dump rock and handle the mitigate the erosion.
That help us with any of the major storm events?
It would prevent further erosion of that hard angle. The water comes out about 90 degrees in that backyard of that.
The one right opposite the
puzzle. Yeah.
Trying to fix that.
It's handled. We got it done finally. Right. You're right. It's been on our books for years.
Was there a lot more erosion?
A good amount. The job initially, I think you said, I showed you, was started out like at 16. We had a little bit of extra work, some trees and some little bit more stone. So it grew a little bit, but still relatively low cost for as much as little work as we've done there over the years. This was the sinkhole and the other green work. This is the outfall of the old rotten pipe. It actually was rotten and gone. And that's how we became aware of it. That was that project. This was Chestnut. Okay, so now here's Cass. So you can see they didn't get as much of the money. They were $200,000 because they weren't low as much as Geotech was low on most all the alternates. But so this is a little snapshot of what they've been doing. A little bit of work on the T-ball drive for some drainage upgrades before we put the new concrete road in.
So that work is done?
Yeah, that work is done.
I thought they did the concrete.
They did.
Under
the concrete road in this contract, yes. So it was pretty convenient that their own crews did the drainage right behind them. They came with their floor machine, paving machine.
Can we take some of their money then and shift it over to Geotech kind of?
Well, I would prefer not to, only because we got a couple months left in the year, and if there's any needs and emergencies.
Just one bit to
Same thing. Yes. But, yep. So
historically, though, they're all usually higher than 80% of the.
Yeah, but we keep, even if you get two or three of them. And it's cheaper, we save money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if there's ones that are not, we make them both bid against each other anyway.
Right, so right.
Get the best value out of them, correct?
Correct, yeah. And availability is the other key. Right. That when one guy's busy and some guy's available.
Good because you were doing the concrete anyway, so that took care of all.
And what did the concrete cost this for the T-ball behind?
I don't have that in front of me with an alternate that was awarded. It was, I don't recall. I have to report on that at the streets meeting coming up.
It is. I don't really call that drive. It's nice town, compared to what we have.
So we have some, we have been working with Cass to give us some estimates on some things that we did want to get done. And that's just, these are some work locations and some estimated costs that we've yet to pull the trigger on, but we do still intend to get Cass out here to do these work items. So. You know, to show you that we're trying to spend the money. And then, of course, if anything comes up from an emergency standpoint, you have funding available with CATS to react and respond. So, again, a lot of the stuff in the right-of-way and in some easements. this one I threw on here just because it has to do with the creek and our bridge, and we've had a lot of action legislatively and show you some nice progress. This job is about 70% complete, with a lot of heavy lifting going to happen here in this next few weeks to get the bridge buttoned up and poured in. So
that'll be done.
Yeah, it'll be done
this year.
Yeah, December. And they said hopefully by Thanksgiving it was going to be done. So.
Now, did they run into any, like, unforeseen issues once they started?
No, it's been pretty good. I haven't heard a thing. No, and
it's good.
Spoke with Mr. Carmichael just the other day. He couldn't say enough about Shermer Construction, about how good a job they've been doing and how accommodating they've been. And I think he had a lot of nice things to say. He had some concerns about the creek and some stones in the stream, yeah, but.
I'm with the dry itself and wouldn't that'll be done after the.
Oh, the road. The whole road. Yes, we took an alternate bid, so it'll be concrete just like the T-ball drive.
Yeah.
But we needed to get this bridge done.
You think we'll have enough time to get there left?
It's going to be a spring project. We'll have to keep our eyes. The residents are worried about the road conditions because it's pretty warped and.
Yeah.
How it's going to perform over winter, another winter plowing season.
Another winter once the concrete is in. And that'll be more challenging.
No.
Middlebrook, it's a non-dedicated street.
It's a private now. And with all this work that we put in, would we consider making that a dedicated street?
So it was part of the, we had a resident meeting, and it's part of the deal, part of the agreement to allow us to come in here and for us to spend our dollars that we're going to take on a permanent highway easement across the entire roadway and the utility. So it'll feel like it'll legitimize and legalize. It won't be a dedicated right away because it's very non, it doesn't meet any standards for the roadway. So it was just easier to secure a highway easement. So we'll forever now be legally obligated, and there'll be no more question as to.
Probably concrete, I think that maintenance should be minimal for a decade.
For years.
Yeah.
For years.
There's so much traffic.
Yeah. So the box beams, I believe, are coming next week to set on the new abutment. We salvaged and saved the easterly abutment because we looked at it and inspected it. It was in great shape, and it saved us some money and to reutilize it. So just the westerly is new, and there's new riprap on that. We shored that up, too, on the other side of the stream. So it should be getting buttoned up here in the next few weeks. So that's pretty much a snapshot of everything we've been working on. Gets us to the future.
Quick question. We have talked about that Chestnut Woods. There was a backyard drainage issue. Hadn't heard much of that. We had a meeting with them back in April, maybe. Here, do you remember that?
Mice was very smart.
Yeah, very smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was there any type of result? Or Quinn, did you tell me there was something that happened positive there?
On which one?
Smyche and that property in Chestnut Woods there.
Oh, not up by him, but
That's done.
Yeah, there's been a couple instances where I've used Councilman Trakus's resident pays. But my way out of approaching residents is, hey, you know, it's going to cost this amount. You would contribute this amount. The city would help you. If they don't want it, then I'd say, well, then obviously it's not that big of an issue if you're not willing to participate. Zemba did, and actually the total cost of Zemba's was $9,000. City only paid $2,000. And then another one, I was off by $15. I went over $15. The contractor was there. We got it done. And with every one of these, I get a sign waiver. We never look that we're done. The city is done. It doesn't have to go back. From now on, it's on them. So it's a good thing that you guys put through as far as the residents. So yeah,
No,
these actually one was down to earth.
Oh,
did it?
I think
it was at the neighbor property.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the other one was Sal's Landscaping, which Zumbo wanted. It was his contractor, but like I said, it was a $9,000 total project. We participated too, so it was under that 33%.
Yeah,
so,
that's good.
With a waiver, so
yeah,
you know, we're out. Because that's been the problem over the years. We never have an out. and we have, you know, we can get called now, we're done.
That's positive, thank you. Okay, any question on any year-end projects? Got money left over in the one cats contract, and I saw what you wanted to do. Was there anything else that you thought we could do before the end of the year there, or is that gonna, carry over?
Yeah, that will probably carry over.
Okay.
And I would just, you know, just so you know that, you can anticipate probably some change order requests for additional money from the 2023 budget to infuse into these contracts that are still active through May in the next year. So that would be probably something you might see in December for first reading, and then approve it in January to add some money to keep us moving. And I can, yeah, I can show you. These projects of upcoming 2023, you're well aware of, we've had some recent activity hiring engineering firms to get moving on the design work. So these are real tangible projects that we hope to be under construction with in 2023. Both jobs are full reconstructions that include water main and storm sewer improvements. So this is a little status. They've done pavement coring and soil boring already out there on both roads. Geotechnical reports are being finalized. The field surveying, I believe, in both neighborhoods is complete. And they're preparing utility base mapping. Existing conditions plans are being developed. So we're soon going to be at a point where we start doing the feasibility studies for the sidewalks and get to a point where we study everything and see what can fit and what can't, and be at a point where we can share the information with here at the committee and then also meet with the residents. So
I'm just surprised that in Cleveland has any sidewalk the other side that would just be too constrained. It seems like the Cleavers are like they're in a half the cost of that project than Longano.
Yeah, it's just the east west and then Longano turns and goes
north south.
So
got a salvation change on them. More so on, I really want, you know, lighting the pavement when the sidewalks over on Cleveland. There's a chance to add a couple of feet.
Right, yeah.
I'd rather have that.
Yeah, but even the big sidewalk makes no sense there.
It's terribly narrow. We'll talk about that. We can do it. So yeah, these jobs are moving forward.
We can do a couple feet.
We have 50 feet, and the current road widths are substandard. They don't meet the current 26 feet minimum.
Yeah, just want to make sure that they stay pretty just wide a little bit, not to try to put a sidewalk in.
People walk on the street anyway.
So,
right?
You're not going to do it.
So you'll confirm that.
Traffic at minimum.
Yeah, just stripe it like you did on Chef Road, a walking lane on the road.
You normally have to have a good amount of width there that accommodates both, you know, the car, automobile, and pedestrians.
The price,
Shaft, we had it because
we had plenty of width there.
It's, I don't know if we could widen that much, but we could think about that. Could be part of the study when we review it, feasibility and all those things.
So there's no storm sewer going in, I think.
Well, Cleaver is newer. It's newer storm sewers, RCP reinforced. So we're televising everything, and both sanitary and storm. And we may probably replace catch basins because those tend to get beat up. And but we think we can minimize any major storm sewer improvement on Cleaver because the pipes are in nice shape, newer from the 80s, mid 80s, 90s, when the time the load was done.
Do the backyards on the south side have any water issues coming in from down or not?
None that we've been made aware of. A lot of times we have things on a radar screen from problems in backyards.
I'm thinking Longano.
Oh, Longano.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, for sure on Longano. Not so much the south. When the road turns and runs north south, we have some people. In the backyards there. So we did include that area to get surveyed and to try to do a drainage improvement for those folks since we're going to be there.
This is people on Brexville that have that back there. They've had a lot of
erosion.
Yeah. So that'll be part of the project. And our storm outfall runs through that way anyway. It goes through those yards and outlets to the ravine back there. So.
Well, didn't Levy, there wasn't that one resident, was he walking in the ongoing, you know, dispute with the city or the...
There's a Rexville Road resident.
Rexville Road resident. I just want to alleviate any of that.
Yeah. Issues with me. And this idea of going to the hill, it wasn't up on their usable property. This is kind of a small...
But they've had a lot of erosion. I mean, there's trees down all over the place. I mean, it's rough.
Rugged terrain.
But this could, like, because some of that comes down the...
Oh, ultimately it drains through. It's out, yep, it's all going through that ravine. That's the same water course, yep. That, not so much Cleaver, because Cleaver's north, but Longano drains through that. Here, upcoming projects now, not necessarily 23, but upcoming, because they're definitely on our radar screen. Here's another one. We had a GPD last year, so they are actively in the engineering design work for Brookside Road. It's a major project. It's going to include both water main and storm sewer. It's, I thought we'd try to accommodate it in a five-year plan, probably over a couple years of funding. Right now, I believe it's a couple million, give or take, dedicated in 23 and 24. So we also shot for some grants here this past month or two, trying to secure some money because of the cost of the project being what it was. We submitted to the Iowa EPA Water Pollution Control Loan Fund for $900,000. That really was all of the costs of the storm sewer improvements. And then OPWC, Ohio Public Works, in September, we requested a $520,000 loan, just more globally over for the whole project, not for any specific work component. So we've yet to hear back. We think we'll hear back from one or both here in the holiday season, in between maybe Thanksgiving and Christmas. But here too, soil borings, pavement corings are complete, geotechnical report, this should be done, and same sort of where we're at with, it's a bigger job, so we're working on line and grade. You know, we're going to lower the profile of that road and improve the drainage, you know, have curbed pavements, and it'll be a nice improvement. So we're working on same thing, line and grade, to try to establish the vertical and horizontal there. And we're, there too, we intended to try to, for sure, we have sidewalks already existing on the north side. Part of the scope was to investigate whether we could, if it's feasible to put, add the sidewalk to the south side from 21 all the way to Eastview. So that's part of the scope, probably in a very similar position to bring forth some information to the committee about that, streets and sidewalks.
Not in comparison to the work we did on the east, you know, East Brookside there, lengthwise, is it as long, longer than, you know, what we did down from Brookside down to Brantley?
What's that?
The length. I mean, compare. Well, we've already got the east side complete, but compare this project to the, I just want to compare the two projects.
I think lengthwise, they probably are similar. It's for about 4,000 feet, 4,100 feet. Yeah, Brookside. From Brecksville Road to Eastview is about 4,100 feet. Mm-hmm. From Brecksville to Bramley might be a little longer. Mm-hmm. But
and we did sidewalk one side of the street there on the east side.
We have a chance, but this is appropriate time. We have a chance right now to talk to Ryniak, our paver. And the condition of Brookside is the worst street in the entire city. And we have a chance for them to grind it over there. I listened to what everybody said the other day at, about Stone Road. And you drive it, you see how nice it is. And so, council, I'm asking council if they would just let us grind it over like Brookside now, because it's going to be at least 2 years before that project is in a position to be done with a comprehensive approach, and it will take us, this strategy takes us, and it puts us in a position to, what'd you say, systematically look at all the different challenges of that project, waterline, gas, drain water, outfalls, storm sewer, and do it systematically, and then we can plan it and do it at the right time so that we can do our underground over the winter with an immediate follow-up of paving. So we could get in there the next week probably and redo Brookside. I think it's $370,000.
Give or take, yep.
And that'll last us, that'll get us, at least the people in Brookside, people that use that road will be in a position to And even when they go to redo the road, they'll be in a better position to take care of our equipment as well as protect the people's properties, their cars, vehicles, et cetera, make it safer. So if the majority of council agree, we're going to get that done next week.
But based on our last Streets and Sidewalks meeting, we were talking about a 2023 project for Brookside, because the engineering is underway now, so...
Won't be done in 2023.
The five-year capital plan, I have it with me, showed budgeting $2.5 million in each of 2 years, 23 and 24 is how it's currently set up.
Right.
So...
No, the latest year's that was adopted on August 17th, yeah. All $4.5 million in 2023.
On that?
Yeah, we're going to borrow it. And we talked about borrowing it, but with the climate today, you can overlay that road, take care of our people now, and have planned it systematically, then I would recommend we do it that way and be in a position and then do it. Take our time rather than try to rush something and fight a season when we can plan it out and systematically do our ground, and then great, have all the rainwater resolved, and then go in and redo a nice project.
Well, it seems to me it really is in tough shape, and you got to get a lot of traffic, and it's a big residential street, and one of our biggest complaints, and people have a concern about a street that's 1, 2, or 3 grand,
that you're going to spend $400,000 to tear it up a year and a half later.
We're not going to tear it up a year and a half.
And where is the water main going to go? Because obviously we talked about replacing the water main. Would that be off the road surface?
Yes, I believe we're targeting the southern side of the road.
South side.
South side.
Because yeah. That was a problem with Lower Brookside, is they had to put it back in the same area. So yeah. This one potentially could be on the south side.
Right, in a separate trench, we could maintain the existing main, leave it live, not have to do all that bypass pumping, which is cumbersome, it's costly, and it's sensitive to the season. You have to, can't be freezing temperatures when that water main's laying on the surface of the ground. So,
and that's
for many reasons, it's good to put it in a different location.
And that's another reason the water department slows the project down.
No,
but I'm saying the water department and how well they've follows their own pace. Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. So at least we wouldn't have to deal with above ground water situation.
Right.
And for the water lines to the houses, would they be one that would be bored? Or would they dig through the new asphalt?
They could do either one. I can't recall what they did.
You're talking about the lateral connections?
Yes, the services.
Oh, those services. Those would be bored.
Oh, could just be bored. I'm trying to think
what would board up on the salt when you go up on the east, for Brookside. They were boring those.
You mean DeJoya? When DeJoya did lower, the section east.
Even up on the upper section, that whoever did that.
I don't think we did the water main up there.
No, not the water main. I'm talking about the lateral connections.
The gas?
No, the water line.
Yeah.
And I saw a boring machine up there.
But yes, boring is a nice way to go.
Yeah.
It saves on all the. Yeah, otherwise they'd have to open cut the pavement.
Which would make very little sense to pave it and then tear it up right away. Because I know when we talked about Lafayette, there was a conversation a number of years ago about doing a quick paved job on Lafayette. And at that time, it was like, that doesn't make a lot of sense because we're going to do a wholesale project on it. We're going to invest millions. So at that time, we did not do it.
But if you recall, it ended up being a good 3 to 5 or more years.
We really did
it. Really, it was a long time. And that road
has been a lot more traffic than Lafayette.
Right.
I just threw it up because we have a window right now to do that. And
the funding is there.
In the current maintenance contract. Yeah, we can get it done without any additional request for funding.
So Stone Road was used and then East View was anything else, just those two?
Yeah, we did a couple small other areas, but nothing to the scale that those two.
I agree. I think that the committee had discussed part of Brexel Road
and the cemetery roads were.
That was an alternate?
Yeah, that was an alternate. I think that was
based on the last Streets and Sidewalk Committee meeting that was destined to be done, that was a motion made by the committee.
Until we, found this opportunity, you drive Brookside, you see the condition. You know it's going to be several years of this, and then we determine, you know what, we ask Brian yet, the price is good, we have the money, and I throw it out there just because this is the worst road condition of any of the city right now. So.
Of course, when we talked about borrowing for the three roads, I mean, for Brookside, Cleaver, and Longano, the interest rates were a little bit lower than, quite a bit lower than what they are now.
Absolutely. So,
and we knew we had to borrow, at least for Brookside, we had to borrow for sure.
Absolutely.
And so we'll be able to do Cleaver Court and Longano next year?
I wouldn't do both of them at the same time. But to me, I would do one of them. I think I would focus on the one that we can get ready, probably Cleaver Court. It's in the worst condition of all. And it's in concert with the bridge project, so it's like they've had an inconvenience, so it's not as though it's going to exacerbate the situation.
And that would be ready to go pretty quickly when the engineering's going to done, so we can bid it out early in the season. And
that's a small project.
But if you've got both of them done next year, then you're done down there for a while.
Yeah.
That's something, it's like they have had a lot.
Next phase of Brexville Road.
Right.
And just looking at 2023 alone, without even considering 2024, the bottom total capital infrastructure real estate that's been adopted is $23.5 million for 2023. And based on past finances, if that would continue going forward, we can fund roughly $12 million or so, plus or minus, with internally generated cash flow. So, I haven't identified specific projects. All I know is if this capital plan was $23.5 million of projects for next year, and we could maybe generate about 12, then in my math, it's an $11.5 million difference gap. And so what is borrowed for? It's not my concern. It's just, hey, I think we generate close to $12 million, and now we got $23.5. So Council Mayor's got to let me know, are we borrowing $11.5 million next year to fund that gap, or are we narrowing it? So that's why we're trying to get through the operating budget by the next couple of weeks in November, and then I think it's appropriate then to jump back into the capital as part of our entire 2023 appropriations discussion, because if we are going to do a significant borrowing, then Maggie and I need to plan for that in the appropriations.
Everything has changed considerably, and it's still changing as of yesterday. There's an interest rates.
With respect to Brookside, I mean, I think if what I hear what you're saying, that this isn't going to be done in 2 years. That's really what you're saying.
Well, even if it's engineering next year, if you look at Lafayette and those projects that we just identified, it's 2 years of construction alone. Those were four, I think, between engineering, there are 4 years. Between engineering and construction?
4 years.
Yeah. Between the engineering time it was approved, authorized, the time it was completed.
And we just authorized the engineering for these projects a couple months ago.
Well, I thought you were talking about that, yeah.
Right.
Well, then I don't understand.
So you're saying it's not going to be done for 4 years?
I'm saying that Fort Lafayette was 4 years. The question came up as it relates to, as a comparison to Lafayette month. And I said, by the time council approved legislation, the time the project was completed, it was 4 years. So I guess my point is, go back to your original comment. Anybody thinks that this is going to be repaid in two years, it's pipe dream. They're not going to work that fast.
But based on what you're saying, for the utilities, they're going to put them on the side of the road, so you wouldn't have to tear up the whole road.
We wouldn't have to tear up the pavement and put it down. So we have good pavement for the people to drive on for the next couple of years, 2, 3, 4 years for sure.
But when you do the reconstruction project, you'll have to tear it up.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so you're investing $400,000 for a couple of years.
For people to have a quality of life that they expect.
And no way to get this project
expedited.
And based on the conversations we've had at the Streets and Sidewalks meetings, if we get the
engineering approved by the date we got the engineering approved, it would be done over the winter and we'd be ready for bids in the spring. That's what we were told. And then council talked about borrowing $10 million to get these three projects completed. Now it's completely changed and we're just kicking a can down the road. So I'm trying to logically evaluate why everything's delayed as much as it is, especially since these things have been on the books.
Tell me what's delayed as much as it is.
Well, you're saying now that this Brookside project is going to take 2 to 3 years.
Oh, it will take that long. I mean, if you look at Lafayette, it was a 4-year deal. The time council approved everything.
Look at the other end of Brookside. That's,
yeah, that's
fair. 2 years.
I just, if anybody can say the ministry been chucked in 1 year, then it was.
We're not going up by you and everybody.
Well, it's just that if you're going to invest $400,000 and tear it up, that's the problem I have, especially when this project's been on the books for 7 years and we just initiated the engineering a few months ago. So we ourselves delayed it, and now it's going to cost us an extra $400,000 in asphalt paving to carry it over to the point in time where we're actually going to break ground on the project. So I find that it's fiscal waste.
Well, it's quality of life for those residents that are suffering.
Could have been proactively handled and taken care of by now.
I know. And now it's been 7 years ago it should have been, right? I don't know. I was 4 years, I was gone, so I don't know what happened during those 4 years. But obviously, there's a problem. But look, at all we're trying to do is address the quality of life for the residents, knowing that things, if you try to buy materials today, you can't even get materials. So there's no guarantee. You can't guarantee when you're going to have the different materials to build a project, let alone build it. And so the thought was, hey, if we take the time and prepare ourselves properly, maybe we can do things in an orderly fashion and answer all the people's questions relative to the drain water, relative to the impact on their particular houses, and do it right. And so we're not going to lose any money in terms of the engineering. We're just going to do it right. Or in terms of the pavement's got to be done anyway right now. I don't want to run our equipment over that for the next 2 or 3 years. So this buys us time, and especially with an economy that's so unpredictable. At the beginning of the year, All I heard was the concerns about revenue, and it's documented. People were concerned, council, which is your job, concerned about revenue. And then in the middle of the year, revenue's not an issue. And now here we are in November, and the economy is challenging with interest rates the way they are, and supply chain issues the way they are, and all construction projects, the cost of these construction projects have gone up 20-25%. Now, is the question I have for council is that an anomaly, or is that going to be a permanent cost? Does anyone know? Because if it's an anomaly, and it's like other items that we see where prices have gone up, lumber prices have gone up, and now they're stabilizing and going back down, if in fact that's going to be the case a year from now, we're going to be in a better position to make good decisions, financial decisions, in terms of how we're going to go forward. So I don't have a crystal ball, but if someone does, has a perspective that they want to share that's legitimate, then I'm all ears. It's council's decision. My job is to present opportunities and present variables, and that's what I'm doing based on the best information available. So I'm presenting this to council.
Let's get back to the utilities discussion where we can go through that.
Sure. Sure. Finish up.
Go ahead, Matt.
Okay. Do we have to get a decision if you're, because you said next week.
Well, we'll make a decision. We'll pull council and see what they want to do.
So Roniak was out there this afternoon looking at it.
Okay.
Looking to see what materials against supply, and if it ain't next week, it's going to be before, you know, the snow flies. That's our goal, to get it.
Next week,
well, yeah, 70s, yeah. Yeah. So that's our goal.
My big concern is that when we had the last meeting, which was about what, a month and 2 months ago, maybe, and our interest rates have gone up what, twice since then, I think.
Three times.
And so I just look at now, doesn't make sense to borrow that much with the increased interest rates that are gone. Or can we take care of this at least for the time being, at least take care of Longano and the Cleaver next year, Longano the year after, then.
That would be a strategy I think is reasonable to what the finance director just outlined as the gap between potential capital available dollars and the expectation. I mean, it was mentioned earlier that 7 years were delayed projects. Well, those are nice boundaries to put on, but they're not real. I mean, you do what you're capable of doing. And by the way, 7 people can make that decision every year.
Well, there's just a big of a gap for 24 as well.
So, right.
Yeah, so, the years there that are very concerning for us and the finance staff. 22 is fine, 25 right now is fine, 26 is fine, but 23 and 24 have a huge spike, and so it has to be addressed. Otherwise, we can't do everything that's listed in here in those 2 years unless we're going to borrow the gap.
And I look at the administration's job is to present options that are better. You know, ultimately, you have to decide how you want to spend the money. So if you decide you don't want to do it this way, you want to borrow money, then that's your prerogative. We're going to spell out the options and the quality of life for residents, and then if you choose to go to bed, I'll follow up on your decision.
So you'll probably be polling council then before today. By the end of the week, yeah.
Well, I might do it today. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them here, and I'll call the other two.
Don, what happened to the economics of scale? When we talked about Cleaver and Longano, we talked about having it bid together made more sense because of economics of scale. We lose that then? We split them up, obviously.
Yeah, I think you have the ability to bid it many different ways, but no, I don't think you lose it. I mean, we did Beverly. It was a standalone little job.
Why don't we try to bid it several ways and see what comes up?
Sure.
Yeah,
that makes most sense.
I just think from a inconvenience factor for the residents, just we can shorten that a year, you know, and it's not a lot more money. It's not like Dale Bridge, so it's, you know,
yeah. Those you
squeeze it in.
Minor less than like what Riverside would be.
That's been about 4 years.
I think five.
Yeah, five, two. I think the Longano's double.
Look, if council decides it wants to borrow money and do something in light of this economy, it's your prerogative. But right now, I don't have a crystal ball, but from the administration's perspective, this needs me to have a wider view of things in terms of all these projects, capital projects. And I think the condition of the road, pavements, people ride on the roads. They don't care about the water, the sewers, the stormwater, unless they're directly affected. But they do ride on the pavement. And so that's why when Dan, we talked about it, it made sense to say, look, this might be an opportunity, a small window. And if the majority of council want to do it, we'll get it done.
So that $400,000 from the maintenance contract, is that coming off of Rexall Road patching or what? That's a chunk of money.
Well, right, it's $370,000 that you're not going to do somewhere else.
Yeah, we're not going to do the cemetery. We're not going to do. We put more money into Stone Road,
right?
But the committee. But there's what I guess when we saw Stone Road,
I heard
the response of council on Stone Road, and we started talking about 2023, 24, 25, and we're seeing these $10 million gaps, and I don't see a crystal ball or a light in the tunnel. You got to start being realistic, and so when this opportunity came up to redirect from the cemetery to Brookside, it just let them take care of the people on Brookside that travel that entire area. That's my fault. That's
what's the cost of the cemetery? In other words, what would be not be spending there? Because I don't have that in front.
Yeah, I don't recall. I want to say $125,000 maybe was a
for the road, right?
Yeah. So that's a third. So that's a third of the cost.
Okay, possibly.
And then
what's the opportunity cost? What you're trying to say? What isn't
right? Right. Happen? That's what I'm saying. Because you know, obviously, the cemetery is not getting the kind of traffic that Brookside was, and despite the fact that it seems to me kind of weird to pave it to have it last for 2-3 years, didn't make sense for Lafayette. Doesn't make a lot more sense for Brookside, but it makes a lot more sense to me than the cemetery. So where else is the other two-thirds likely to come from?
We're going to do Rexville Road like we did a few years back.
Is that
the word on location?
And how much would come from that? I mean, I'm trying to mentally justify doing it. And of anybody here, I'm probably in the strangest position because it goes right in front of my house. So,
yeah, I don't recall the amount for that alternate because that was, I believe, a separate alternate for the patching, strip patching. And some of us thought maybe it wasn't even enough. But I got to believe at least 150, couple hundred thousand.
Probably.
It's.
So the bulk of this would come from the Rexville Road and the cemetery.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what do we do? Didn't we just do something at the cemetery? Did we put some asphalt down?
There was some bad, a little bit of work we did just with Roniak to make it a little bit wider and some base failures, but it was anticipation of.
Yeah. It's not the
No.
There's nothing.
Now, keep in mind, Jim, much like Geotech and CATS, Roniak's contracts similarly ran 12 months, and I believe they just were issued and must proceed in July.
Right.
So there again, new month, new budget, new maintenance money. We could then, it could then give us more flexibility to go to a cemetery or anything else with new money in that same contract.
Calendar year 23.
Yeah, and the alternate bids, to pull the trigger on those alternates, which really were probably intended to be the next year anyway, if we had that ability to extend the
contract for next year too.
Right.
Good.
Yeah. I believe the maintenance contracts were for asphalt.
So the condition of the Brookside for our land.
For next year?
Yeah.
Commission of Brookside. It's the worst road in the whole city, right? And it's an immediate resolution. And I don't know when financially or functionally, every time we turn around, there's another priority. And that's why we lose 7 years and we don't lose because it's fluid and the council comes in and makes a decision and we go a different direction. Administration changes and we go a different direction.
If these economic development projects come through, then that's
That'll help back a lot of things.
But I mean, you also have to spend money.
And there's a couple of things coming down the road that if you have to make a decision to pull the trigger on $5 million for a project or $5 million for an economic development project, that's a tough decision. But it's not so tough a decision when all your roads are relatively in good shape. Pavement standpoint, not necessarily a water line, not necessarily the utilities or the drain water, but at least the pavement's in good shape.
So then, Mayor, you'd like to poll at least the five of us that are here now so you get some kind of direction.
Yeah, we need to have guys answer. And
I'd be for it because I do know I'm more concerned now in the financial with the interest rates and the borrowing part concerns more than it did even a few months ago, although probably could have foreseen what's happening. There's quite a few more people use Brookside than use Lafayette. I mean, you've got a number of different
roads.
Yeah, and we got a winter season coming up. If it's for the plow, it'd be a lot easier if it's a road smooth. And so, I don't know, like they say, this might get time to get done for 3 or 4, 5 years or anything.
Right.
So, more critical, I think, the longer we, the worse the pavement gets. So, I'd be yes with Ryan.
I'm talking with residents. I mean, they know that there's going to be a complete restructure at some point, but they're looking for some type of stopgap currently, just so it's better driving conditions for them. So I'm for it. Less wear and tear on the machines, the snow plows, everything else we got. So
we got a major freeze thaws too. I mean, Brookside will only get worse.
Right. I could support it.
And there's no other alternative strip patching or any other way to improve the road surface than grinding and overlaying the entire road? Not to do it comprehensively and give it the best chance of. And there's bad areas for sure, but that would probably comprise only 20% if you tried to just do the bad areas, then the rest of the 80, 70, 80% would still have a hard time. Through the winter,
got pretty beat up with those concrete roads that we did up there. And then, of course, we resurfaced Midland and Highland, and we went to the other side, the scenic. Yeah, scenic view and ranch view.
So all the other roads have been pretty.
Yeah, everything around it. It's a sacrificial kind of road, and we knew it would be done last, because we want to do that first and then beat it up doing all the ancillary roads. Yeah. So that was the methodology. So here we are. Yeah, I personally can't support this. I just feel that the city's really behind the eight ball here. We've delayed started the engineering multiple years, which has put us in a situation. We've known that this has been one of the worst roads in the city for years, and we've done nothing until now at the very last minute. We had $500,000 towards engineering that we were told would be completed this year so we could start the project next year. So now we're going to spend another $400,000 to put down a roadway, when eventually we may end up borrowing money to then tear that roadway up and put a new roadway and all the utilities underneath it. It's fiscal mismanagement is the way I view it.
What's your decision? So you're voting no?
Correct.
Dale?
I'm really split. I'm really split, but I see the rationale. If the total project is going to be dragged out a period of time, then I guess it makes sense.
I'll contact Councilman Doozy and Councilman DiGeronimo, and I'll report back, and they say, well, we got four votes here, so I'll ask them to vote and let you know what they say. Okay? Don, you got your direction.
Okay.
I'll put it in the update and I'll call them.
Does that include the seal process that you talked about down in Stone, or is it too late in the season for that? The top, whatever that top.
Yeah, the reclamite. Yeah, and that's really when you're going to preserve the pavement and really have a useful life of 20.
Okay,
plus
so that's
years.
Not a,
that would be money,
not a money wasted. Yeah.
Okay. It wouldn't be an investment for a road that's somewhat sacrificial. That's only going to be, 2-3 years. So, yeah.
As far as the other road projects,
thank you, Council. I'll allow that. Council will give a new direction.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, moving on. Upcoming projects here, just again, things that are on our radar screen. St. Marin's detention basins, those were in easements that the city worked out with St. Marin's at the time, and they haven't been touched by other than just routine mowing around the perimeter. So there's Soil and Water Conservation Group has advised us numerous reporting that we need to get in there and dredge and get the cattail out of there, invasive species. And there's also came to our attention an erosion issue near there. So we do intend to, this is on our radar screen, to mitigate, do some dredging and try to fix that the erosion control.
They've been there longer than you think.
Our outfall from the detention basin could be, exacerbating the condition. So that's what we want to make sure.
That will help.
Yeah, this is part of that. That's on our radar screen. Probably more of a maintenance effort than capital project, but it's upcoming. So, mm-hmm. And of course, we got a full menu of those alternate bids. Many of those were backyard neighborhood type projects. We have just been, with manpower issues and other work, we haven't been able to get into this neighborhoods, have little resident meetings, so we could focus a lot of that on upcoming projects. Would be trying to facilitate some of those.
Have for you, Don, mm-hmm. as we're contemplating these. I mean, these neighborhood projects are there's 3 or 4 neighbors, 4 or 5 neighbors, couple, but they add up. And I mean, there's a lot of them. And I was just wondering if you did have all of these. If you could put them on a spreadsheet so we could just see what they said. It seems like there's a lot of them all. And just wondering what it would cost to take them out, you know, to try to, you know, evaluate that.
And that was the first, I know one time we told them all up, it was $2 to $3 million. $2 to $3 million, I think, when you added all these projects up. Of course, some of them are really big dollars-wise, but, so yeah, there's a lot of work out there, so.
And it sounded like Jim Riley, you mentioned some public-private partnerships the city has completed. I'm just aware of the one on Pleasant Valley with the culvert pipe. Can we get a list and a tabulation of the others that have been completed that council's not aware of?
And a lot of those other ones are very small scale, yeah. So it didn't trigger council action in terms of major spending and where people.
Only assess.
Where people are becoming mechanism.
The one on Pleasant Valley, one of them was on Pleasant Valley, the city did not spend any money. The two neighbors shared the cost. And all we did was, you know, the inspections, we covered that in the, you know, permit, but the neighbors paid for that. So I can give you, there's three of them that I have worked on. So like, I can, like, come and scale it up here to the committee.
I think most of you have complaints. We'll just get through it somewhere.
Well, and if we have the list, you mentioned the list, if we have some concept of what the potential cost is, then would it make sense to go back to residents and see how serious they are about erecting these? I guess we've got about 20 on the list or plus. So I know. I remember a while back seeing the list and comprehensive. Well, at least 20. So I mean, but my point being, if we have a basic cost item, let's take the one between Midland and Highland through the backyard. So let's just take that one as an example. Mm-hmm. So if we have the cost is X dollars, and the cost for of the city's percent is Y dollars. And the amount of money to be divided between those other folks is the remaining portion
per parcel.
So then potentially we could say to those people, hey, if you're willing to kick in X dollars, this problem can be solved. The city would be involved in it. Could that potentially be a way to either A, get the project done, or B, get the project off the list?
Yeah, and that's what I referred to where we've had. That's where we're really at. We need to engage the residents, bring them together, share the data, and let them see. And then you're where the rubber meets the road, whether they're going to, how bad of a problem it really is if they want to pony up there.
It's going to cost them $2,000 or whatever.
Look on Braywood, we've spent all that time and effort trying to figure out what was happening, and we did, and kind of talked to them about, you know, hey, you could do this, and then they had no interest in doing it.
Even when the city was willing to fund the whole job up front and assess it. Even in that instance, when you couldn't make it any more cost effective from a year to year in terms of property taxes and the ease of payment, repayment, even then, it was some people didn't know.
But that should be one of those ones where you do have a neighborhood meeting, because we were still talking to one or two of them. I mean, there's four of them, four or five that had the issue. It's like maybe they can prevail upon each other. So if you would be willing to put the time in to have those neighborhood meetings, I think it would be beneficial to do. It's going to take some effort, but I mean, I think we should try to do that.
Right, and they'll get out prioritizing for us.
Yeah, exactly. And then we'll find out
which ones first. I mean, we can be calling the wrong meeting. Full sense, no. So I'd rather have them prioritize them for us.
Yeah, pretty much. That's why I wanted to try to get them on one list, and let's go through, because we do. We have some of the usual things that we've heard about, and, like the ones you mentioned, I think would be a higher priority because you've got several people who have been interested in trying to solve the issue. Yeah. So,
you know, we try to pay attention when council calls, and we try to follow up on the complaint and determine if where it's going to stack up on the list, or if it's going to make the list, or if we have something that's beyond our capacity to just do.
Understood. Yeah. Okay.
So,
and we took that approach with the redux for this Brookside project.
Yeah, there's another one. I've yet to engage them. We've got some good data, and we're in a position where we can share the numbers. Both there was engineering costs and physical construction costs. So we've got to get to them, because that project is in design, and
sooner or later, GPD's going to need to know if it's in or if it's out, those improvements. So that's definitely high on my list because that's coming. It's a real tangible thing that once the ship sails, so we need to give them the opportunity. So that's high.
There's some that are on creeks and wetlands that these people want to use the wetland. Well, they can't. You know what I mean? Like, that's where we got to be careful. Getting
right.
You know, I'm trying to give them more of a yard. This is an office. It's a wetland.
Yeah.
Can't use it.
Yeah. Understood.
And getting back to priority, maybe some of the you can look at it in reverse. Rather than us determine the priority, the residents who want to pony up and participate and fund, they should probably rise to the top because they want to do the project. So that could be it. That's the other way of looking at it.
Yep.
But we never get there without engaging them and showing them the numbers, and you still got
to
do that.
The guy has Andorra. They got four of them there. I talked to him a couple weeks ago, and I proposed it to him as well. We'll see. But if you go out there and you actually meet with them and you go through, it spurs more thought. And it's not a lot of money when you think about it. It's like, you know, but in the big picture, if they're putting it out on their taxes over a certain period of time, it's not that significant.
And if they sell and leave, that's stays with the property.
If we have a list, prioritize it, and we'll call meetings and see if we can generate some participation.
Yeah.
And as Dale said, get off the pot if you don't want to get this done, but then we can take them off the list and say it's going out something that's going
to
get done.
Put it to bed.
Anytime you got to put your money where your mouth is, decisions are made.
Yeah. Sure. And the list keeps getting longer.
Right.
But we can't. And, you know, if the expectation is that the city is going to handle the cost of all projects, that's unreasonable.
Right.
So, you know, get out your wallet.
Right. So that's why we're building the case now we have where residents have participated and paid money. So going forward, we can say, hey, look, this is how it works now.
Yeah. And you're asking people off the list and they're happy right now. Yeah.
And if it's not a repair that's done, they are also realizing that it's not that important to them.
Right.
This next project.
Click my $8 a month to be verified on Twitter.
All right.
It's important to us.
It's down from 20.
Down from 20.
Did you put that nature stone on there too?
Are you verified? I'm verified. I got verified for free. I don't know how. Look at me. I'm verified.
I'm
not good. I'm just sending my dating verified.
This hillside road culvert that doesn't belong under public-private partnerships, that's a mistake. It's a project.
That'd be nice to see.
Yeah, right. The residents paid for that. This is on our capital plan, I believe, in 2024, so we may be able to be in a position to do engineering in 23 or 24 construction, of course, subject to the capital plan and the financial resources available going forward. But that's
something in that location.
Is that in front of Craig's house where we did some work?
Yes.
Okay.
It's in the segment, yep, where the pipe collapsed and we did a little small repair just to get us by. And of course the water main, the rest of that whole one, it's in bad shape and it breaks a lot. So that's that.
Yeah, it does break a lot.
So then like
it's
all that.
Yeah, right next to that.
Okay, Craig and Brokowski were through that. Okay, yes.
So you took us seriously on these other matters is what you're telling.
Yeah, and I had a couple few just to throw out there just so while we're getting ready to walk out. We'll go quick. This one I brought up once before, Regent Stewart District down there by the old Woody Wodarchik property. They have a project, stream restoration, but why we are getting involved, why I'm bringing it up here is that there's a section of our sanitary main that's being exposed from a creek erosion. This green line is the pipe.
What street is this?
This is, it's really just like Lower Brookside.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, this is.
They bought the property.
Yeah, so they knocked the house down.
Yeah.
And they've been trying to do that. I remember back in the day, they were looking up quite four or five of these properties where the creek runs in the fronts and it blows out the drive culverts and all the debris gets jammed up, so that just went by the wayside because they
Rottinger, I believe, was one of them. Remember, they evaluated them, and at the time... This one right here was the old, boy, there was a lady that lived there. She was in her 90s.
Yeah, young couple bought a school.
Oh, no. They bought, that was their grandkids.
It was their grandmother.
Yep.
And then the grandkids, they sold another grandkids. The husband and wife are living on Lafayette with the mom.
This is an access plan. So this is how a contractor will access it and move to do the work. It's not the flow of the water.
That is not...
No, I know. That came up last time. I was ready to answer that.
No, that is not the flow of water.
So here's a section view. So in this project, they're going, this is the sanitary sewer that's being compromised. They're going to put a nice revetment and encase this pipe in concrete. And so it's a, really becomes a small segment of sanitary sewer reinforcing and protecting.
Why are we...
Well, because it's our pipe, and...
Do they own the property?
They bought the property and have easements to do the stream restoration.
And they should, if they own the property, let them be responsible for it.
The sanitary is an easement.
But if it's eroding, why wouldn't they be responsible?
The asset is a city sale. Well, they need $50,000 plus or minus.
They need $50,000.
How much would they be investing?
Pardon me?
How much would they be investing?
Their project for stream restoration is, I think, could be pushing, it's hundreds of thousands, the stream restoration.
This is not part of our contribution for Senate for storm sewer payments, is it? That the $200,000 you're talking about?
No, this $50,000 wouldn't come out. No, if we had to do this job, we would have to do, we'd have to hire Geotech.
The local money.
Okay.
They get every year from the city.
Mm-hmm.
Can you get accounting of that for us?
Mm-hmm.
We've allocated that.
But it is eligible. This is eligible.
I know, but I'm wanting to see where we are on the ledger. I mean, how much have we contributed? What have we gotten out of it?
And where is that money?
And so I'd like to know where we're at. Right now, project to date, in terms of, you know, since last 10 years, since they've collected, how much a year they collect?
Couple hundred grand.
Exactly.
180, 190, it fluctuates.
Exactly. So that's $1 million. What have we done with it? What have they done with our $1 million, is my question. The 25% contribution.
Right.
Yeah. You haven't earmarked a couple, like Jim, it's for a couple of years.
Lower Brookside.
We designated
at least 25, right?
Yeah, so a year or two more.
Yeah.
If not, okay.
So they're taking that money. That was our, so in other words, council's already approved using that money. So it's already allocated.
We sort of allocated it, yeah, okay. Designated it.
Well, I was looking for more.
Well, but this
year, how much are they spending out there? That's not an independence, man. It's the sewer district.
Yeah, that's in their global stormwater program.
Yeah.
For the sewer, for the stream restoration. That's not coming out of any local.
We should find out. They're putting a lot of money into sanitary, storm. They're not isolating the monies to just storm sewer projects. They're putting money into sanitary projects. Now, I'm not sure if this qualifies or where this ends up, but I certainly would ask Regional Sewer why they can't make a contribution to the city of Independence like they do in other communities. They're spending tens of millions of dollars on all these other communities, all these improvements.
Lakewood needs a few dollars.
Lakewood needs about $90 million about now.
Yeah.
I'd appeal that some of the gun.
Well, you know what though, Jim? That's not a bad deal.
Compared
to what they have with the combined sewer.
Yeah, those cities should be.
I mean, Regional Sewer is $3.2 billion. Akron's a billion. And Lakewood's a big city. They have the same historical problem. So, I mean, it's a tough one to swallow. It's going to have tremendous burden on the residents, that's for sure. Anyway, that, I guess, for the benefit of me and the council, if we could just keep that ledger, I'd like to see what it's at.
But they did stress that this would be eligible for the community cost share.
Okay.
It's eligible.
They're away.
It's eligible.
And my point is, why would we have to pay anything? Their property, they should take care of all the utilities. They bought it. They should take care of it.
Yeah, they didn't buy where the pipe, where this erosion issue, they don't own this. This is,
I think that we should have a discussion with them. Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
Who owns that?
Well, the property owner here, I forget his name.
Is that the old Scotia numbers?
That's the old Scotia, yeah.
somewhere in our, Rommel. I'm not sure.
Anyway, just throw it out there for discussion.
And we have the list, we can put together.
I think we should all see it somewhere.
And I say 50,000, that's plus or minus. They, you know, they give us these estimates much like ODOT, where it's this, and then it's this, and then it's this, and when they bid it, it's this.
Well, my question to you is, how much would it cost us to have our contract?
Yeah, we could, now that it's nicely designed for us, we can.
I'm just suggesting, we have two contractors. I'd be surprised if it's not cheaper, but maybe not.
Yeah, the access is the issue, so that's the one benefit of this job, since they have to build access to do their work with the stream.
Okay, they can do that, and then we'll fix it after they put the access.
I think we're at a point, if that's, they are asking us if we want to proceed under this plan, and by, that's kind of where we're at. They're waiting, I thought it was convenient, a nice way to go to participate.
Would you mind if we have a further discussion with our district analysts to see if there's a cheaper way for the city to do it?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. Don? No one's objecting to it, right?
No.
Just pursue a. If there's a way for us to do it cheaper, if it's cheaper, then.
By all means.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sure, we can get some pricing.
If not, then we're going to do it, right?
And it might be happening quicker, too.
Right. Or in concert with them.
And I bet you it's such a small ancillary project that even if we, I can ask them, even if we told them today, let's proceed as if we're in, and then if we tell them later to not perform it, just forget about it. We're doing it ourselves. To them, I can't imagine it would be any detriment.
The access is going to be in.
It's, yeah.
They're going to put the access in.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Just a thought.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next issue.
Okay. Yeah, that's on the radar. And then, soil and water. Conservation District, you know, we have MOUs with them every year, and they do a nice job. We have a budget of about $26,000 that they do a bunch of work for us, you know, to meet our stormwater permit requirements. They have proposed a two-year program where, for some additional cost, they would expand their services, so to speak, to help us. You know, we get bogged down in the physical proceeding out to do physical work and taking their reporting and translating that into real benefit in action. So they've identified year one to look at making some, they will help us. That's what this proposal is, for some additional fee. They'll help spearhead and chaperone some additional legwork and communication, coordination with HOAs or with residents or with the city, and try to methodically go through and to try to get to a point where we're making tangible benefits of dredging and cleaning up and taking care of problems that year to year to year we just get more reports that speak to the same maintenance requirements, just because we get bogged down and have a difficulty getting from the report to reaching out to an HOA or to a property owner. So, you know, these are on private properties or commercial properties where we need to just engage them and educate them and enforce and that they actually maintain these basins. They'll help us try to move forward and get tangible work done. So that was what they're willing to come and speak to us at a future meeting. I just wanted to bring it up to everybody's attention.
I like
something to consider.
That's a good idea.
They're really cost effective.
Maybe that independent station.
Well, you know, those basins there, there's Denver basins full of cattails and probably haven't been touched.
So the one that goes east west along Seaway, do they consider that?
No, that's just more like a ditch that conveys the water. It's the one behind the service department building. That one that's at the north end of the parking lot.
Yeah.
That one's got a physical outlet structure. That's really a stormwater management feature and basin. It's been, and then I've been here a long time and I've never seen anybody dredge that.
So you do that with the service?
Oh yeah, they don't care who does it.
Okay.
Yeah, I assume that was the school's Board of Education responsibility, but so that's that. So you might hear more about that in the coming months.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, this was just the ordinance for public-private partnerships. We talked about that. We, you know, recognize, and as the word gets out on this program, and people have, you know, are starting to line up, and we've talked about this before, that we're going to get inundated we think, with application or with requests for work. And it comes at us via phone calls, emails. Council has occasion to call us and refer residents to us, so we know that we need to get, you know, more professional and business oriented. Yeah. So this is just a sample draft application that we feel we can, once we hone it in, get it to a point where we think it covers all, any and all requests, it can start to become a template standard form.
Would you put it on the website?
Yeah, we want to make it available, and really now it can be somewhere we can document who applied for what and for when and for how much. And then, of course, after this, we need a fully vet system of matrix where we subjectively review and try to prioritize and see if somebody's, you know, eligible. So it's really, it's begging to be done. We know we need to do it, and I'm just bringing it up just to let you know we're going to start working on it.
We've talked about this a lot.
Yeah, it's been and it's now more and more, as we have more success and word gets out, it's only going to be more of a need, so.
Now, maybe on there, too, we should put something. I said, you know, by filling this application out, there's no guarantee project will be done. Because, you know, people, I applied 2 years ago,
cover ourselves. That's a good point.
Yeah.
And you see under number six, the type of project proposed, we have basement waterproofing. Do we ever foresee the city getting involved with residential basement waterproofing?
And this is very preliminary. I don't know. So, the way this was worded, you know, I know that's how we're dealing with some right now, where every time it rains, people get flooded. And it could be an issue on their outlet pipe. It could be that their foundation tiles are jam-packed, original, or dysfunctional. So that's a great question. We need to determine or decide what's, because right, initially you think, why would the city be involved in somebody's basement waterproofing? But this, the way it's written, we got to decide if it's excluded. Is there anywhere in here that you would say it's not?
I think the idea was to make sure people were improving their homes and that it didn't become a problem for other residents as well. So our first forays in years, we started saying, well, does this affect other property owners? And so we made the determination that the only one we've done so far that it could affect other property owners, we probably was isolated out for the one property. But in my view, I think that if someone's willing to improve their house and then they can't improve and they can't afford it, you know, I don't see a problem with trying to do that. Now, we can evaluate it and say we don't want to go down that route, but I wouldn't want to preclude it off the top because, you know, there's seniors who are in fixed incomes and that's a problem for them and it's destroying their property. And if they can't afford it, I wouldn't want to preclude that automatically, just my own opinion.
Would you assess on that?
Yeah, it would be assessed. The city wouldn't be paying for it, but it would be part of the assessment program.
Last year, I was on a house. It's up on East View. Is that Beverly up there?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It was on the west side of Beverly, fixing a furnace. There was actually vines, like, growing through the concrete block.
Wow.
Like, halfway up the walls. So you could tell that house needed, all the walls need to be replaced or fixed. But it's a situation like you mentioned. They were seniors and fixed income.
Look, it sounds great, but when I see a $27 million funding gap for public infrastructure projects, and then now we're talking about going down the path of the city fronting money to complete improvements on private property, yeah, we'll get the money back over 20 years, but city still has to come up with more cash fund mistake. So I just caution council about going down that path because it could open up a big door.
Totally understood. What Jim was saying is many of these projects are smaller in nature and they just need a little bit of boost.
For one thing, but a basement waterproofing, there's nothing small in nature about that. That's tens of thousands.
That's small details.
So yeah, but maybe that's something that the city can determine for the homeowner. Say, hey, this is what, you know, in order to fix your problem, this is what you need.
And we do that a lot anyway. We try to troubleshoot and help and assist to diagnose where the problems are. And then the fix gets identified and costs get. So it's these are all great questions. And I think this process has to get to the point where it determines eligibility based on what the work is and what it isn't, or what we want to fund or not fund. So
these questions came up when we first talked about the ordinance, and the idea was that you'd find individually each one of them and
and the mayor and council determined if they thought it was worthy at the time.
And best to have some sort of parameters and, you know, to start the process.
Yeah, and we're not buying patio furniture for people, but, you know.
Yep, so that's.
When the economy approves and burnt wheels.
So then, the way this ordinance is written, it's a stormwater, so that you get their roof and gutter replaced because it's leaking and the gutters aren't functioning properly, would it meet the qualifications?
I don't know. That's what needs to be determined. We need to, if we don't,
slow.
Yeah, be very clear.
Very soccer based on water.
Mm-hmm. Right. And when does waterproofing stop and when does a sewer replacement start? Because sewer replacement's right at the front wall. It goes from there to the sidewalk, which is the city right away. Well, that's right next to the basement water. So this, you're right. These are great questions and it's touchy and can be very costly.
Well, we should put some parameters together that makes some sense. But I would review the parameters periodically just to, you know, because things do change.
So that's it. I have nothing else.
Okay. Any questions for Don or Mayor on any of these?
The only question I have is in regards to the Army Corps of Engineers project. Is that, I think we had an update on that a while ago. Just wondering where it stands or if it's moving forward or stalled out.
A lot of that, you know, a lot of some abnormalities came up with Army Corps, some of the hydraulics and the issues with how they review some of the standards they use. And so it kind of got stalled and it could potentially be, it could be at a point of abandonment depending on how this shapes out.
Which Army Corps project?
That's the one.
401 or 301.
205, Old Rockside, flood wall, flood levee, flood wall.
So maybe Toodaloo?
Well, I don't know. They thought they had it worked out between a conference call with Valley View and we all listened to them.
So Valley View's monkeying around, I guess.
No, we had a conversation where I thought everything was resolved. The increase of water flow was insignificant. Then they had a challenge with the National Park. National Park challenged. And then so they had to go through the whole dynamic, correct me if I'm wrong, they had to go through the entire dynamic of working with the National Park to determine if it's going to cause a problem for the National Park. And they thought they resolved that issue. And then the bridge abutments, moving the bridge abutments from the middle to the ends and the elevations and all these different dynamics entered into an elevation change during a flood that was going to be insignificant originally. Now somebody introduced, somebody is questioning the assumptions that the Army Corps put together to determine their analysis. And so that's where it's at. So
in FEMA, I think it was some FEMA standard that while the Army Corps standards said that this, what we thought was an insignificant, inconsequential rise or expansion horizontally of a flood limit, FEMA thought differently of it. And for whatever reason, it was not a good amount of coordination between the two. And we learned it well past what we thought was the 11th hour. And it's
so we're problematic. So we're watching these two agencies.
Both federal
agencies. National Parks are federal agencies.
So they're never visual.
So we'll be a
narrow that the president let me get this thing.
The old Rockside Road Bridge, though.
Yeah, that's independent.
That's the lawsuit that we challenged and we won.
So the team won that one.
Yeah.
County is supposed to be.
Right.
Okay. So, any other matters before the committee? So I know Debbie doesn't like when we expound upon things at the end.
So,
there are no other matters to come before the committee, do I hear a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Council?
Call the roll.
Sure. Trakis?
Aye.
Tagliati?
Yes.
Viverca?
Yes. Now we can talk about the record.
No, me and this woman, right?
Recording stopped.